Third hour on this Tuesday afternoon, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. We're just talking about Titans rookies. We'll begin the third hour with this. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360 joins us. Jonathan, there's two guys, two rookies on this roster that I'm very, very intrigued to see how they're going to handle the pressure. Fair, unfair, doesn't matter. They're going to have pressure and they're going to have expectations for different reasons. Let's start with what we were talking about. You've been covering the team for a long time. They've, you know, drafted Corey Davis fifth overall. Fair, unfair, that's the tag he got. First receiver taken. Never could live up to the billing. Had to deal with that the whole time. And kind of came in late, as we were talking about, and was behind the eight ball his rookie year, as you know. Kenny Britt dealt with injuries. I mean, we were just kind of going through the list. Who was Kendall Wright from Baylor, yeah. Right? He dealt with the same thing, and they just never really recovered from that. And I know it's small, it's Titans minicamp, it's not that big, but you know how this works. I mean, A.J. Brown missed a lot of time, and fair, unfair, he's going to be in those A.J. Brown shoes. How do you think he's going to handle this rookie season in particular?
It's so unpredictable, Darren, and I'm sure you guys have discussed this. Like, you just rattled off a bunch of guys that were supposed to be the guy that broke the mold. And we know the history of receiver in this town. You know, from D. Mace to A.J. Brown, there is a barren wasteland of expectations not met. And some good players, you know, I don't want to rip every single one that came through, but it's not like these guys came in, grabbed the bull by the horns, and just immediately meet expectations of what was set forth and where they were drafted. It's very difficult to do. The great ones can do it. And fair or unfair, I think it's fair. Treylon Burks is going to be judged based on A.J. Brown's production with the Titans offense. I know we're going to spend a lot of time, we as the Nashville community, watching him in Philly and comparing that production to here. But, I mean, I was looking at the tight ends last year, comparing their production to what Jonnu Smith did here, not in New England, and because I knew what he meant to the offense. I think Burks has a chance to get closer to meeting that bar if the offense gets back to what Tannehill does best. Two tight end, running the football. That's where A.J. Brown was flourishing too. So, I mean, it's not like last year he lit it up. So I think Burks is – if and there's a lot of ifs with this. He's the real deal if he comes in and takes over without having anything around him go well. For instance, if Robert Woods has some type of setback, he's kind of the forgotten signing of the offseason. They've got to make sure he's ready to go. But if they pair him with the rookie and things get out of the gate okay with this offense, Burks will gradually come along well. If not, there's a lot of pressure on him week in and week out. Guys can step up and do it. Some guys can't, and he's got to be a great player for them. He just can't be okay. He's got to be someone that you know he's going to show up and perform well week in and week out.
Yeah, they're just not in a position to ease in with him. It's just not going to be the case. So with that being said, now that we can, you know, openly talk about gambling and it's not taboo and we're yeah. talking about over and unders and all that stuff on our shows now, if you were to assess, if you were putting a line out there for over under catches his first season, what would you put that number at?
Like 65. I mean, I think they're going to throw it to him. I think they're going to throw it to him a lot.
Okay.
But I think they're going to be spreading it around a lot. They have brought in Robert Woods. I like what they did in the draft on offense as much as anybody, but I think this is more about who they have coming back and what they did in free agency than relying on specifically one or two guys within the draft. I think they want to bring those guys along. We can all laugh at that. That's just what they do with literally every rookie who comes into camp. And they try to make sure that the veterans around them produce. To me, Henry, LaJuan, Jones, those guys, that core group that they've truly invested in, stepping up and making a big impact statement on the season, more than it is any rookie that's coming in. So I would put Robert Woods in that mix because he was a very steady player for the Rams. Not a number one guy, but he's got to be that rock at wide receiver that can get them through whenever they're waiting on these rookies to come through and produce. I'm not putting a ton of expectations on Burks right out of the gate. And I'm not treating him like a number one, I guess is what I'm saying. Because I don't think that when A.J. Brown came in, he was treated like a number one either. He took that role. Burks can take it, but I wouldn't bet on any rookie coming in and taking it within this offense and how this offense and framework works.
Now, Hood, looking at this offense and them losing A.J. Brown and them not knowing exactly. Listen, I think Derrick Henry is going to come back and be the same old Derrick Henry. Will he get 2,000 yards? I don't know, but he will still be that powerful, aggressive runner that defenses have to pay attention to. With that being said, where does this offense go? And you just talked about it, two tight ends, you know, yep, two wides, play action. You think that's what they're going to get back to?
Yes, I do. Like, I'm smiling as you say that, but that's how they're built. Mm-hmm. Like, they doubled down on it because they re-signed Ben Jones and a nondescript that he's kind of the glue of their offensive line. They've got some young pieces that'll be playing beside him. They're going to bet on Nate Davis gradually improving. They're going to have a rookie right tackle, and then Lawan, if he can stay healthy, will be the other piece at left tackle. And D-Mace, you know this better than anyone that could speak on this. I look at contracts and length of contract. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Tannehill's contract that I'm paying attention to. Whenever they signed Derrick Henry to that extension, these were the years where, and I don't mean this as a negative, it may sound that way, they can run him into the ground if they so choose. And I think they will. For the last 2 years, we have been discussing load management with him. And when it comes to game time, they don't count carries for him. It doesn't matter what down and distance it might be. They're turning around, or what the score is. Down and distance, yes. What the score is, if they're down double digits, if they're down 17 in the third quarter, the offense still goes through 22, as funny as that sounds. Because that's also where you get the best out of Tannehill, off play action. Tannehill 2 years ago was great on play action, second down passing. That's where they really flourished with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. And I think they're getting back to that, and a great signal that they are. Other than Arthur Smith, you're going to be hard-pressed to find another play caller who ran more 12 personnel than Tim Kelly did in Houston. And he is now the passing game coordinator. So to me, they're signing him to do that, not do something different.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton. You can catch him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick and Outkick 360. Now, here's a two-part question for you, because a lot of people are looking at the defense and they're saying, hey, listen, this should be the same defense or even better than what it was last year. Well, they lost some corners and they're getting younger yeah, and inexperienced at the corner position. And you know, in this day and age, there's a bunch of really good pass catchers, which means you have to have a bunch of really good guys that can cover those pass catchers. One, do you think this defense can elevate itself? And then two, if indeed they can elevate themselves, where does that put the Titans in the South, even after losing A.J. Brown?
Oh, it's a great point. I think they can, mm-hmm, because I think the pass rush is going to be much healthier right out of the chute this year than the gradual progression that they made outside of Harold Landry, who in a contract year put up some big numbers. Bud Dupree, a year removed from the ACL, he's back in the mix in the full fold. You can count on him. I look at the pass rush and think how much they're going to truly help the defensive backs. I like the way Kevin Byard rebounded after a poor season for his standards and played last year. Just looked much more comfortable. And the Roger McCreary draft pick in the second round, while I kind of did a double take at the time because I was on with you guys right before the second round and said I thought they might go tight end, and they went defensive back and they went corner. And that's, to me, I mean, McCreary's a really good player. But you're right, they've got some young pieces at corner, and now they add him in as he's more than insurance but he's just a sticky corner that they can put on some of the bigger receivers. That's what he did at Auburn in the SEC, where he didn't back down and he didn't panic in SEC play. So who knows about Caleb Farley? Let's be honest with that one. But if he comes in and performs in year number two, the way Jeffrey Simmons, after he was drafted injured, comes in and performs, they're on to something. If not, then we're going to see a lot more of McCreary and Farley in kind of a tag team tandem on the outside, and they'll have their other pieces elsewhere to manage. But I think their pass rush can wreak some havoc this year. I think they actually take a big step forward in that department, and ultimately their defense improves because of all of that.
A lot invested there. You really hope that that's the case. Jonathan Hutton is with us from OutKick. Hutt, I want to ask you about Robert Woods, because this is sort of a segue from the pass rush. Remember last year, Bud Dupree was coming off the ACL, and he had a goal. I want to be ready on week one. He tried so hard, but the reality was he wasn't quite himself for a good while there. He might have even rushed it by his own account. What do you think is realistic for Robert Woods? I think we all want him to be ready for week one. You have any inkling of what the Titans really think is realistic there?
So if my timeline is correct, his ACL happened about 3 weeks before Bud Dupree's, if we're looking at the calendar. Bud Dupree's happened that first week of December on a random Wednesday night during the COVID year. And last year, Robert Woods happened, his ACL took place in November. Literally, it was either the day, but it was in practice. It was the day before they brought in, or the day after they signed Odell Beckham Jr. to the Rams. So I think he's got a couple of weeks, for lack of a better way to put this, head start on recovery.
Okay.
But Willie, I mean, I over the years, it is so hard to judge these things.
Yeah, everybody's different, because, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at LaJuan last year. You know, he came back and he was practicing, and in the coaching staff, while they don't talk about injuries much at all, they would never hint at, well, yeah, maybe he's not ready. And LaJuan, you know, finally got to the regular season, and you could tell, like, he's still thinking about the knee issue. I don't know how Robert Woods recovers from a knee injury, right? Like, that's what's so different with all of it. I think Dupree admitted he maybe came back a little bit too fast. Here's hoping that Woods doesn't feel that way, and they're going to give him all the time. But there is, man, they have a lot. You mentioned the investment on the defensive line. There's a lot invested in Robert Woods. But the bar, I don't know if you guys may think I'm crazy. The bar for him, while I think he's got to be a big hit, I think the standard, perception-wise, is kind of lower than Treylon Burks, because he's being brought in as the injured piece, and all he has to do is do more than what Julio Jones did a year ago.
Hmm.
So at least that was the thought, right? Because at the time they still had AJ on the roster. So I think he's kind of been forgotten as a linchpin to their offense, and they need him in September, especially with the way that schedule rolls out. Tannehill, I want to see a rapport with Tannehill and Robert Woods. I want to see that development more than I want to see him and Treylon Burks in September. Hmm.
Who do they fall back on? Because, you know, you look at it and you say, is it possible that Burks isn't a day one hit? Yeah, you can say it's possible. Same thing with Woods, as we just documented, with the uncertainty of ACLs. I look around and there's a lot of question marks. We talked a lot yesterday on our show about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. He's a good, solid player, but can he take another step forward? And then you've got the Dez Fitzpatricks and some other guys that didn't get to play much that you're hoping will make a jump, but there's a lot of hoping there.
Yeah, I mean, so the immediate guy I thought of is Austin Hooper. Like, again, I think they've got to get back to their tight end game, which was just a nothing a year ago. That intermediate safety valve game, where Tannehill can look for the short to intermediate routes across the middle of the field, either on play action or in shotgun whenever they choose to go empty, whatever it might be. I also think that they can do some things out of the backfield more. With who they've drafted and what they can do and what they learn they can do without Henry in the lineup. But Willie, it's a great point, because to me, everybody else behind Burks, behind Woods, are role players. And Nick Westbrook-Akin, I was asked recently what expectations were coming off of what was a career year for him last year. Yards, catches, touchdowns. They just need that from him. He doesn't need to me, within this offense and framework, he does not have to be the next level number two guy. If he plays that role and they get what they should be getting from the guys they've invested in, they're going to be okay. We saw the offense flourish with this style in 2020 and put up some ungodly numbers that we've never seen before from this franchise. And that's where Tannehill flourishes. So a lot is hinging on the top two guys, and then getting the tight end more of a factor, becoming more of a factor in the offense. If they don't have that game going, to me, it's a run game or bust scenario.
Hutt, final 30 seconds. I just want to get your quick take on how do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to handle this? Because Matt Duchene went through this with the Predators last offseason, right? Like, where has he gone? What the first 2 years of that big contract, no production. What's going on? Where is this? He was left unprotected. Seattle didn't even take him. He responds with a monster year, has a career year, and does what no Predators player has ever done with 43 goals. Ryan Tannehill is, you know, this is not going to be the same offseason that it's ever been. He has already taken a ton of heat. How do you think he's truly going to handle this upcoming season? What do you think he's in store for? Does he respond, or how does he respond? Is it great, or do you see it going the wrong way?
Guys, if we take a step back, here's exactly how this thing plays out. He's going to show up in September, October, November, and December and be the guy that he's been since he took over from Marcus Mariota. To me, there's no pressure on Ryan Tannehill in the regular season.
Okay.
Because he's been a regular season quarterback that plays very well. He's very productive, efficient. Not every game is great, but he helps you win games within the framework of this offense. He's judged based on the postseason. And I don't know if Malik Willis gives him the true push, like the look over the shoulder after training camp, because I think there will be a buzz in the preseason games with Willis. He'll put on a show. But I think they know right now they've got to go through Tannehill. It's in January, Darren, where the pressure is truly on him. Because if he doesn't win, the contract is set up for them either to go with Willis or somewhere else next offseason. And he knows that. That's where the pressure is really mounted, and that's where we have not seen him play his best football. So I think he's going to be fine in the regular season. He'll respond fine in those games.
Then what happens after that? Yep, you're right. Yeah. Good points. Good stuff. Hey, appreciate the visit as always, and we will certainly talk to you down the road. Thanks for doing this.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Jonathan Hutton, OutKick 360. Good stuff from him. There is news on Treylon Burks. We'll tell you what it is on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. Don't go through another summer with that awful joint pain. Just call QC Kinetics right now. That pain in your back, your knees, your shoulder, it can now be treated with the latest in precision medicine using natural biologics, growth factors that can restore and repair damaged tissue. This is exciting stuff. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, giving you access right here in our listening area to this modern-day joint pain solution. So if you've been told, hey, you got to get steroids or you got to go have a surgery, well, this is an alternative plan that might be the right thing for you. You can get lasting joint pain relief, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, no surgery. You've heard Emmett Smith giving this message as well. Take action now. Get a free consultation. Powerful, effective joint pain treatments with natural biologics. Call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics at 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.